will be a real encouragement and something that really takes us into the week. And for each of us, there'll be something in that that brings us closer to you, Lord. Thank you for Dave, and bless him now, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yep. Good morning. It's always nice to be here. What I'd like to do is just think for a bit. Jesus said some well-known words in Matthew 4, verse 4. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And I've been thinking in one or two contexts just about hearing God, partly driven by a need for it myself, and partly thinking it's so easy to forget really important things. And here Jesus is saying, you know, bread's great, but what is really important is hearing from God. And I've been needing to hear from God. If you don't mind me indulging it in a personal story, which I could make sound even more dramatic than it is, but I'll try not to. My sister, who's even older than me, she was diagnosed a few years ago with a heart disease. And she was told by the doctor to tell her siblings to be tested. So I thought, I'm fine. But I went along to be tested, and strangely enough, while I was having this echocardiogram, my heart just went funny. But I didn't feel a thing. And the guy doing it said, "Have you got chest pains?" "No." "Have you got a headache?" "No." But what has transpired is I've got this hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. If you haven't had it, I'm happy to share it with you. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? So I've got this thing which is genetic, and so my children have got to be tested, etc. Now, normally my pulse has been fairly good. They put me on things to lower my pulse. And my pulse was averaging about 50 resting pulse. In the past month, it's just gone crazy. So my pulse is now double that. But I'm still feeling fine. I can exercise a bit, certainly on a bike. But so I've got this going on. At the same time, oh, it's hard getting old. It's a good job you're all young. My knees are shot. I used to play a lot of sport. I taught PE, so sport was an important part of my life. And when my first knee went, I went to the doctor, and he said, "And it's my knee." And he said, "You're left-footed, aren't you?" So I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, if you're left-footed, your right foot goes first, because if you've kicked," or I used to high jump a bit at college and play sport, my right leg was taking all the pressure, so my right knee was shut. The doctor said, "Manage it as best you can." But in recent years, it's been harder to manage. So I got on the system, and I need both knees replaced. I phoned up Southmead Hospital in Bristol and said, "You know, what is the waiting list like?" And she said, "Well, you're a very long way down a very long waiting list." So I said, "Are we talking months or years?" She said, "We're not talking months." So suddenly I've got this situation where, because my knee is getting increasingly painful and I need both knees done, she said, "Well, they'll do the first one, then you'll see the consultant again and you'll go back on the waiting list." So I said, "Well, by that time, you'll have to exhume me to do the other one, you know. We're talking a long time here." So my kids have been saying, "Dad, you need to get it done." Because if there's any other granddads here, my grandson who lives next door says, "Come out and have a game of soccer." And the reality is I can't kick a ball any longer. I can put my toe under it and lift it, but I can't kick it. So they're saying, "Get it done." It is a long story, but bear with me. My wife owned some friends in France. In fact, Dave and Wendy stayed with them, Bob and Celia, a few years ago. And Celia had a similar operation, and she said, "How's Dave doing?" So he said, "Well, long waiting list. It's probably going to be years." She said, "Come to France and have it done. It's cheaper than England." She said, "I'll chase it up." And so she rang back the next week and said, "The surgeon can operate on the 19th of November." So suddenly I'm in this dilemma, do I or don't I? Now, for those of us who are older, our generation doesn't spend money on yourself. You know, the thought of spending
money isn't good. And because I love the NHS, it almost seemed disloyal. But they can't do me for years anyway. So I said, okay, we'll look at it. But then my heart started to go funny. So I'm in this dilemma. Do I go or don't I? What happens if I'm on the table and my heart goes crazy? You know, these sort of things. And I was thinking, it would be great if I could have a word from God. And I'd go to meetings, I'd just pray, Lord, will someone come to me at the end and says, thus says the Lord, go to France. Or, thus says the Lord, don't go to France. And I just felt, I decided what I thought would be good and what I wanted to do. But I just wanted some confirmation that it was all right. You ever been in that situation? So here I am praying. And then suddenly one day, a couple of weeks ago, I got a message from a pastor who pastors a church in the foothills of the Himalayas. And he said, I had a dream or vision, as I was fully conscious, I suppose it was a vision, of Pastor Dave, that's me. He was taking rest in his bed, but he was tied with many medical bandages and was trying to get up by himself and calling for help. But he alone could not move or get out of bed himself because of the condition of the bandages. It seemed he needed external help for him to get out of bed, to stand and walk. This is what I saw. And I thought, well, that's, you know, why is it I'm in meetings most week and somebody could say, you know, Dave, I feel God saying, but here's a guy 5,000 miles away and he has this vision of me in a bed needing help. And he was hearing from God for me. And I took it, and I know you can interpret these things in lots of different ways, but I took it as, yeah, it's okay. I will be out of action for a while. I won't be able to stand up and walk, but, you know, I'll survive. And then a couple of weeks ago, someone had a prophetic word for me that talked about things I'll be doing in the future. So either he's very optimistic or not hearing from God, but it gave me hope, you know, because I don't know how long my future is, but I thought, yeah. So it looks as though I'm going to France to have my knees done. Sadly, it's in the south of France. It'll be so hard. But, you know, I'll be brave. But it triggered the whole thing of hearing from God. How do we hear from God? And I'd just like to talk, and at one level, it's quite basic, but what I find is I need to be reminded of the basics. You know, we can get into very complicated theology and understanding and all that, but it's just the basics. How do we hear from God, and how do we know it's God speaking to us? The first thing I think is important is that we understand that the Word of God is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, as John 1 says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So our hearing the Word of God flows out of our understanding and our knowledge of Jesus. And if I'm to hear God, the key is how can I tap in to a deeper relationship with Jesus? Because that is the source and the revelation. And if I want to hear from God, it'll be as I walk with Jesus more, I'll hear from him. But I hear from God in Scripture, but what I've come to see is that I understand Scripture in the light of who Jesus is. Because there's some, it's very easy to look at some of the Old Testament laws, and you could say, well, that's Scripture, you know, and it's used very much by some very right-wing Christians. You know, this is how we treat the gay population because Leviticus says. Leviticus also says, you know, if your oldest son is disrespectful, stone him. Now, Dr. Zeus didn't have that, but how do we interpret that? Or it says, woe to you if you're wearing clothes of different fabrics, you know. We can only understand Scripture in the light of knowing who Jesus is. And with these Old Testament laws, which may be difficult for many of us to get our head round, it's only as we understand that Jesus is the fulfillment and the completion of laws that we can understand that. And if I can start to look at Scripture through a Christ-centered perspective, it will stop me being cavalier with God's Word. I think we hear God's voice through creation. A few months ago, my daughter and son-in-law family took us down to the art exhibition near Bruton. Do you know the one, what's it called? Something in Wire. It's this trendy art place. It's a fabulous place to go to. But when I look round the exhibition and the pictures, the cynic and the Philistine in me said, my granddaughter could have done that. But my son-in-law, who he's got a fine arts degree, he was, wow, look at that. I said, because when I look at a picture, my thought is, what was the artist thinking? Or what is the artist like? I'm sure many of us are familiar with that painting, The Scream, you know, the one that was pinched, where there's... Sue does a great impersonation. Stand up, do the impersonation, Sue. It looks like that. Now, when I see that, I think, what is the artist like? When I look at creation, I think, what is the artist like? When I see some of the beauty, when I see some of the just the different flavors and feels and textures and seasons, it does make me think, well, what is the artist like? Because the artist expresses who he or she is through what he paints. And so it doesn't surprise me that God at times will speak through creation. God will speak through people. Obviously, if there was more time, we could look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and other bits about prophecy, bringing God's word. I do believe that God speaks through community. And as a community of God's people, I would expect God to speak to each other through each other. I don't know why in my community nobody said go to France or didn't go to France, but anyway. But sometimes we think, well, if I know that person so well, it doesn't seem appropriate to say, you know, I believe God's saying. But when I look at Scripture, I read what the prophecies that Jacob had for his children. Now he knew them. He was in community, in relationship with them. And because of that, the words that he brought carried so much more weight. So please don't think, well, I can't bring God's word to somebody because, you know, I know them really well. Sometimes that does bring an extra weight. But God will speak through community, through prophecy, through worship. And I think God will sometimes speak through circumstances. And sometimes in our circumstances, if we can see above them, we might hear something fresh from God. Some years ago, we were talking to a friend. Her life had been really, really difficult. Her first memory was as a three-year-old girl. Apologies if I've told the story before. She and her sister were at Reading Station, and this is in a book, so, you know, she didn't mind me saying it. And her mum said, you have her, and her dad said, you have her, and they both left. And that shaped her life. She was brought up in the George Muller homes. She had some like 16 different house parents in a short space of time. And life was difficult. And so something had cropped up, and it just threw again into perspective all that she'd been through and the pain and the heartache of it. And as we were praying for her and just talking with her, Ria and I just felt we had to say to her, the trouble is, we judge God by our circumstances. Understandably sometimes. But we want you to be able to judge the circumstances by God. And sometimes it's easier to say things than actually do it. Because when heartache, suffering, rejection has shaped your life, it's very difficult to take that step back and say, God, what are you saying in it? But we felt for her the key was not to judge God by her circumstances, but to try and judge her circumstances by God. I suppose another example, when my daughter had a lung cancer battle, which many of you will know about, several people send her testimonies of people who'd been healed of cancer. And the dilemma was, that was brilliant. But for her, it wasn't her experience. And so she's then wrestling with, well, it's all right for them. What about me in my circumstances? Does and we end up asking these questions which we can't answer, or it is hard to answer if we're in court in the middle of it. She said, God must love them more than me, because she was judging God by her circumstances. And if we can try to take that step back and judge our circumstances by God, then suddenly we hear God speaking to us. I love Psalm 84, and I will have spoken on this before because it's a favourite psalm I often fall back to. But it talks about the people on a journey, on a pilgrimage. And it says that when they get to the valley of suffering, the valley of weeping, circumstances are all against them. It says they make it a place of springs. And in the circumstances, and we will all go through some dire circumstances, how can we step back, find God in our circumstances? Because God will speak in our circumstances. And Elijah, you know, his circumstances was he was depressed, he was suicidal, he was afraid, he was running for his life. And suddenly there's an earthquake, wind and fire that got his attention. But it says God didn't speak in those. God spoke in a still small voice. And sometimes when our circumstances are difficult, we just need to stop, because sometimes God wants to get our attention so he can say something to us. So I think God speaks in lots of ways, but how do we know it's from God? Have you ever been in the situation where you say, God, give me a word for somebody, and he gives you a word, and your next question is, God, is this from you? Have you ever been there? How do we know it's from God? A few years ago, somebody who I was very close to was accused of horrendous things. And I was involved in the case conference, which was traumatic. It was awful. And all these accusations were coming through, which later the police said were malicious, but they were awful things. He was a teacher, and his head teacher was there representing him. And the policeman said, he asked the head what she thought. And she said, well, this doesn't sound like the man I know. And just her saying that changed everything. And sometimes when we, when people bring us God's word, or what they feel is God's word, we have to say, well, does it sound like God? A couple of weeks ago, a church leader who I mentor, I was chatting to him and his wife, because his wife had been quite offended by another key leader in the city who she felt had been insensitive and had said inappropriate things. So my first question was, does it sound like this man? I did learn a very interesting thing about communication, or was reminded. You see, this man who'd got a lovely heart, he'd been insensitive in what he'd said to this woman. And this woman, because of hurts that she'd been in, was hypersensitive. And sometimes when we try and bring God's word to people, if we are insensitive to them and their situation, or sometimes out of our own nerves we just blurt it out, and we're talking with somebody who's hypersensitive, you end up with real hurt. But my first question was, does it sound like him? And to me, it didn't. I can imagine him saying it, but she didn't pick up the spirit in which he said it, because she picked up with the filter of being hurt. So if someone brings a word of God to you, or if you feel God saying something to you, an acid test is, does it sound like God? Because there is a danger we bring words of God that aren't helpful. So again, when my daughter was ill, some well-meaning person said they'd had a dream, and the dream was of me driving a bus. And she felt God was saying the reason my daughter had cancer was because of how I was leading the church. Well, that didn't sound like God to me. It sounded like someone who didn't know a father. So I think we've got to ask ourselves that question, does it sound like God? And what it does for me is it makes me more conscious about how I bring, if I fill God's word, for someone who's going through a heartache and suffering. Because again, if we're insensitive and we're talking, praying with, trying to help somebody who is raw and therefore ultra sensitive, we can end up causing pain. So what I do, and there have been situations where somebody in a desperate situation, I felt something from God for them, I've blurted it out and it hasn't been helpful. So my first port of call now is say, God, if you're saying that, that's going to be my basis for prayer. Because if faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, then if I feel you've said that, I'm going to use that as my faith starting point for prayer. And it might be that if I feel I need to bring this word to somebody, and obviously each situation varies, it depends on how well I know the person, etc., etc., but I might need to then share it in the context of his or her pastoral context. So that I'm not just dumping what I feel is God's word on somebody and then running away. And we often do that. Because if we are part of community, how we process what we feel God is saying to us or saying through us, it needs to be worked out. You know, sometimes, especially if I've been abroad in situations, people want a word from the pastor or the preacher and they want the preacher to pray, you know. And I would say, no, it'd be more effective if your family, church family here, prays for you. I'm happy to pray for you and bless you, but you're not going to get the answer from me. The answer is going to be worked out in community. So does it sound like God? In 1 Corinthians 14, when it talks about us bringing a word of God to people, it's to encourage, to edify, to comfort, or to stir up, to build up, or to cheer up. Are the words that I bring, are they stirring somebody up for good? Are they building somebody up or cheering somebody up? Paul tells us that there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If I bring a word of God to you and it condemns you, it doesn't sound like God. It hasn't built you up, stirred you up, or cheered you up. If it's a word from God, it will ultimately bring peace, because Hebrews 4 verse 14 says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword and it gets to the heart of the matter. It divides between soul and spirit. And it might be some of you have been in situations where somebody's just brought a word of God for you and it's gone straight to the core. And you've known it's God's word because of the effect it's had. And it will build you up. It will bring peace. Just the peace of knowing that God's on the case. And I think, even with this guy in India who had this picture of me, what it said to me is God's on the case. And sometimes that's all we need to know, isn't it? God's on the case. Don't understand it. Wish, you know, I could have instantaneous healing and I'd run and leap about and etc. and do cartwheels down the hall. But that hasn't happened. But God's on the case. And sometimes when we bring God's word or receive God's word, it's just that reassurance that God is on the case. Because if I know God's on the case, I'm happy to face it. You know, sometimes God plucks us out with some dramatic intervention, but often he doesn't. The psalmist says, he pulled me out of the miry clay. Isaiah says, when you go through the waters and the fires, he'll be with you. And I'm sure many of us could give stories of how God intervened and really touched us. And some of us will give stories of, I wish he had have done. But what I found is he walked through it with me. But bringing the word of God, hearing the word of God for ourselves or receiving it from somebody just reminds me that God's on the case. And sometimes for me, that's all I need to know. But how do we hear from God? It's so simple that I forget. You know, sometimes it'll get caught up and people will send me I ought to read this book or that book or hear this tape, and it's all quite heavy stuff. But so much, because it's relational, and because it's relational with a parent, So much is simple stuff. We ask. Jesus said, you know, if a son is to ask his dad for bread, he's not going to be given a stone. Two Gospels slightly vary. One says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit? And the other says, how much more will he give the gifts to those that ask? We are children of God. Imperfect, but children of God. The starting point to hear God is to ask. Please don't doubt your ability to hear God. And there'll be some of people like Dave, and maybe we might preach often, I might go to lots of different places preaching, but I've got no different access to anyone else when it comes to hearing God's voice. Because I'm a child of God. We are children of God. We need to believe that it is from God. As I said earlier, many of us have been in this situation, God, give me a word. Is it from you? Lord, I'll know it from you if somebody sings this song. Have you ever done that sort of thing? No, I've got to believe that if I ask God for a word, he will give it to me. But what helps as well in hearing God's word is Colossians 3 verse 16 says, we have the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And how can I build up that reservoir of the word of Christ dwelling in me richly? Obviously, knowing, walking with, serving, loving, worshipping Jesus is the key. But our engaging with Scripture will help. And what I find, I became a Christian in a Brethren church. I was a teenager. Not sure if you're familiar with Brethren churches. It was, they call themselves open, but open's a relative term. It wasn't all that open. It was funny because the women never knew where to wear hats or not. I feel a bit like that today, masks. So I said to Dawn, I'm coming, do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? But it was a very formal context, and they weren't hot on the Holy Spirit, but they were great on Scripture. And what I thank God for is they gave me a foundation in Scripture. And often now, something will trigger off something that's deep-rooted in me. Because the word of Christ hopefully dwells in me richly, because over the years other people have helped lay that, install that in me. And for us, if we're going to be a community who live out God's word, express God's word, we've got to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and engaging with Scripture is a key way to that. And it would be great after what David said about the bus, and I was really encouraged to hear about these openings and how things are working out. If some of us volunteered, some of you volunteered, and before you went on the bus, you just said, God, give me a word that will just encourage somebody. And we don't have to say, thus says the Lord. Sometimes it's just getting alongside people and saying, do you know, I think God really loves you and he's got a purpose in your life. But wouldn't it be great if, as we volunteer to serve the bus and the church and God in this way, we went with the attitude of, God, how can I hear your word and how can I bring it in a way that's relevant? Eugene Peterson, in translating John chapter 1, says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Eugene Peterson said, the word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. How can we let the word of God connect with people in our neighborhood, in the villages where the bus goes, in a way that they can see and understand? And so I've just been challenged by, you know, we don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. And for the first time for a long time, because sometimes I've got so caught up in the busyness of church, I find I want to hear God's word in a fresh way. And I pray that each one of us will be the same. Now, I normally want people to interject, disagree, or say that, you know, this or that happened to me. Sorry, I haven't given you a chance. But if there's anybody who just wants to say anything, got a testimony, got a question, or disagree with me, because I'm not always right. For our 50th wedding anniversary, a nephew gave us two cups. And mine was Mr. Right for 50 years. And my wife's was Mrs. Always Right for 50 years. So I'm not always right, so you can disagree. But if there's anything you want to add, question, or just your own story of how you've heard from God, or someone has brought God's word to you, then please do that, and then I'll hand over to Dave.
Good with lots of
prayers. Right, good.
Most of you know Isabella's gone off to uni, and we went to visit her after 3 weeks. But on her, she's on a very particular sort of medication that's really rare because of everything. And there's a girl on the same corridor who's also a premature baby who's on exactly the same medication, and they've bonded like that because they struggle with the same things.